Turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 27. I'm going to talk about the brazen altar. Exodus chapter 27, and we're going to begin in verse 1. And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof, his horns shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass. And thou shalt make for it a grate of network of brass, and upon the net shalt thou make 4 brazen rings in the 4 corners thereof, and thou shalt put it under the compass of the altar beneath, that the net may be even to the midst of the altar. And thou shalt make staves for the altar, staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with brass. And the staves shall be put into the rings, and the staves shall be upon the 2 sides of the altar to bear it. Hollow with boards shalt thou make it, as it was showed thee in the mount, so shall they make it. The materials of the brazen altar are simple. Shittim wood and brass. Overlaid. Same word, plated. Thick. Not just, it's not leaf. Gold leaf. Books, you see, and I've had some that were actually, you know, fairly cheap, and after a little while, if you rub on it, that old gold leaf will come right off. This was plated, just like the ark was plated with gold, and just like the table of the showbread was plated with gold. Thick. The wood, of course, speaks again of the incorruptible, sinless humanity of our Lord. Some people still have problems with that. Jesus Christ was incorruptible. Mm-hmm. The word Walter uses and likes, and I like, is impeccable. There's no corruption in him whatsoever. Yeah. Not one hint, not one tincture, nothing. Incorruptible, sinless humanity of our Lord. Jesus Christ did not have to die. We do. He was and he is perfect, sinless, pure, and well-pleasing to the Father. And he always will be. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's us, not him. Christ never sinned, was never capable of sinning.
There you go. Right.
No matter what anyone says. Because he is the Lord of heaven.
Yeah.
He was in his incarnation. He was when he was taken to heaven bodily. He is now seated at the right hand of Father. A man. But he's the God man. Death by sin was not passed upon the Son of God. The wood used here, if you translate it, a lot of places translate it, the incorruptible wood. There's a reason for that. Because it was. And because it pictures him, and he is incorruptible.
Yeah.
He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He did not come in sinful flesh. This altar was a place of death and sacrifice. The word altar itself is derived from the Hebrew word meaning to slay. And I still remember to this day Earl standing up here and saying, well, it may have been actually at Mapscott when he said it, but he said it more than once, I know. People will tell you, and this is getting in that superstition stuff, Walter, we were talking about. Somebody's sick, somebody's, you know, has a serious illness. I put them on the altar. Mm-hmm. What they mean is we're praying for them.
Yeah.
Okay, so they'll get better. Mm-hmm. Okay. For me, better might be death.
Sure.
That's what Paul said. Mm-hmm. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. Mm-hmm. And Earl looked him in the eye and told him, said, altar's a place of sacrifice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's where something gets killed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're Roman Catholic, then that's the place where you get a drink. The priest does, anyway. Well, supposedly they're offering the sacrifice of the Mass. That's why they call it an altar.
Yep.
They have supposedly, even though they are kind of shying away from it now, but in the text, in their things, their own books, they literally have the blood and body of Christ on that table.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they call it an altar.
Mm-hmm.
But it ain't one.
No.
An altar is where blood is shed. It's right here in this book. Now, this incorruptible wood was plated with brass. Now, I said something about this before with the definition of brass. I looked it up, and it's copper and zinc. Well, most of the things where I studied up when I got up to this part, they say that brass wasn't invented at this time. Now, it's either what they're saying... How true it is, it's a guess. It's a good guess, maybe. They're saying this thing was either copper or it was bronze, which is copper and tin. Bronze was known at that time. And bronze is another tough metal. It was the toughest metal there was until they come up with brass. Brass had a little more strength. But anyhow, the scripture uses the word brass, so that's what I'm going to say. So... whatever metal was used, it was the toughest and most heat-resistant metal they had at the time, or material, alloy, whatever. Who knows? They may have invented aluminum. I don't know. I don't think so. But it disappears after time. Aluminum turns into powder, trust me. I got a bumper out there that's doing it on a vehicle. But this was the most heat-resistant material they had at the time because the altar is where the sacrifice was put to the flame.
Yeah.
There's a network of brass underneath. The utensils given. Pans for ashes, shovels, basins, or bowls,
mm-hmm.
flesh hooks, and fire pans. Everything was made of brass because this is where the fire was.
Yeah.
Now they say brass in the scriptures is representative of judgment. And one of the best examples you can think of is the brazen serpent which Moses made after the judgment of the fiery serpents fell on the people of Israel. He told them, look, look to that brazen serpent, and that judgment passed. They'd live. Because if they didn't look, they died. So this means, supposedly brass means, and I believe it, I mean, as far as it goes, brass means judgment. That's what every piece of this altar and all its utensils were made out of. And the altar and everything built around the incorruptible wood. This piece, this altar, was capable of withstanding the fire and still standing. Now, this altar also had rings and staves of the same materials, just like the tabernacle. Just like the table, this altar is portable. This altar can go wherever it needs to go. Now, it doesn't go alone, because every other piece of furniture, like I said, the ark, the table, they had staves too, and rings. They're all portable, because they all go together. Everything goes together wherever God wants it to be. That's where the tabernacle will be. There's nowhere this tabernacle can't go. However, there's nowhere this tabernacle goes that God doesn't say so. And you can't have one piece by itself. Right? Everything has to go together. I got to reading this. I got to thinking about this. People today surrounding us right now at, what is it, 10:48. Well, most of them may be having Sunday school. I don't know. But anyhow, all around us, all around this world, all around the United States, the eastern United States at this time, right now, there are millions of people at this present moment who are listening to and hearing about, at best, sometimes one or maybe two aspects of Christ.
At best.
Sometimes not even that. You can't have one or two aspects and have the truth of Christ. This tabernacle moves as a whole. Everything is together all the time, and it's all in one place. I know places where they go to church buildings. Like I said, right now, they will glory in the mercy of Christ. We won't say a word about his wrath or his judgment. They'll praise his sacrifice. And then they'll turn right around and say, it's for everybody. Even though it doesn't help everybody, Mason. It's not good enough by itself. But they'll praise his sacrifice. And there are some who praise grace and then preach to their people legalism. I've heard it. There's some that say everybody should be happy because God is all our Father. God says he ain't. Pardon my English. God says he is not. He says he has a family, but everybody ain't in it. There are even those who say that God can save anyone, anywhere. But God has only decided to save those who go to a certain church or a certain bunches of churches at a certain time when a certain man's saying something. Almost all churches say that in one form or another. I was born and raised Catholic. I was fixed up pretty good because I went to church every Sunday and I had that little cookie. Take the host. As long as I did that, I was safe. By their standards. I might have to spend a little time in purgatory, you know. Because if I don't know what happened. See, I think that's why these old people go to church every day. In Catholic communities. I'm serious with a heart attack. They do. There are people who go every day. Because if you die on Thursday, you got Monday through Wednesday sins to take care of. Or actually Sunday afternoons through Thursdays. Because you're only forgiven up until the point where you take that cookie. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you got to start all over again. It's a racket. Now, they won't explain it to you that way, but that's the way it works out. That's the way it works. The sacrifice, the altar of sacrifice, was given to us here because of the sacrifice to come. And this sacrifice to come was because of God's purpose. And the sacrifice that was to come at this time was going to accomplish God's purpose. And that was purpose before the world began. Before this altar was given, before Christ ever came, before Christ ever offered himself on the tree. The altar only goes with the tabernacle. But that altar goes wherever God says it goes. It's there. Now this altar was tough. This altar was strong. This altar was 3 cubits high. 3 is the number of manifestation. And this altar is a manifestation of the perfect, gracious, sacrificial work of Jesus Christ. It was 5 cubits by 5 cubits, and then they throw in that word there, 4 square. And I looked to make sure, I thought I knew what it meant, but I looked to make sure, and then it was perfectly square. It was not 5 cubits by 5 cubits in a polygon or you know, parallelogram or whatever, or a diamond shape. It was square. And you had a north, south, east, and west corner. It was set up in a certain way. 5 is the number of grace. The grace of God was shown to believers on that tree at Calvary. The sacrificial death upon the cross by the God of all grace shows grace, his grace, to his people. And that's what this altar is a type of. This is a 5-cubit, 4-square picture of the sacrifice for sin. This altar was a place of judgment upon sin. It was a sacrifice brought. This altar is a place where sin was punished in the form of a substitute. Mm-hmm. I like that. This altar could take the heat. This altar could withstand the fire. Jesus Christ was not a wimp. And anybody that preaches him is one that knows what the heck he's talking about. Not even close. But I keep hearing it. I got to quit listening to these things. Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory, fierce in battle, victorious in warfare. He is gentle, merciful, and gracious to his people, his family. But to his enemies, Jesus Christ is something else. Mm-hmm. Death happened on this altar. And because of that, death didn't happen somewhere else. That's the whole point. Jesus Christ is coming again. And there's not going to be an altar. This is part of the thing where they have poor little Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child, as Earl used to quote. They love the baby Jesus in a manger. He's not in a manger anymore. He's gone from this world bodily. But he's coming back in like manner as you've seen him go.
Yeah.
Bodily. And there's a few things that's going to happen that's going to surprise a lot of people. And the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even unto the horse bridles by the space of 1,006 furlongs. That's a lot of blood. That's Revelations 14, 19, and 20. In the beginning of Revelations, at the beginning of this section of it, it talks about one sitting upon the clouds like the Son of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mean Jesus is going to kill people? Yeah. And then it goes on to other things. But it actually eventually comes back to it in Revelations 19 and 15. It says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. Don't you just love Jesus? And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Who is that? In the very next verse, tell you. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is going to smite his enemy. There's a judgment coming. If you don't know nothing about the altar, there's a judgment going to happen. If there's not been a sacrifice made, the judgment's going to happen. The wrath is coming. You don't hear that on TV. Jesus Christ is going to smite his enemies. He treads the winepress of God's wrath and fierceness. Walter, he tells some people that come to him, depart from me, I never knew you. But I did. Christ said, no, I never knew you. That's a fearful thought. Don't worry. Most of the world ain't thinking about it. At all. They're not thinking about it. That's why they came to him. And that's why he said, I never knew you. They're not thinking about it. He died for the sins of his people. That sacrifice actually took place.
Amen.
He gave himself as the sacrifice for sin, even though he knew no sin. And that took a strength and a power and a love and grace that I truly do not understand. I want to. Because I have no strength, no power, no true love in me. I cannot comprehend what it took for him to hang upon that tree and be forsaken by God for me and for his people. And he did all that when he was God. And he is God. Christ did it willingly, lovingly, and knowingly. Let me tell Peter, I could have called 12 legions of angels. Put your sword away. Put your sword away. You don't need to defend me. It's not what I'm here for. God doesn't need our help. God doesn't need my hands, my feet, or my mouth. He is not in that bad of shape. Because right now my arm hurts from moving snow. My back's bothering me a little bit. My feet hurt. Now I can still talk, but I've always been able to talk. But that ain't going to help him. He don't need my help. He doesn't need your help. We need his help. But Christ did this willingly, and he did it knowingly. Now, how wonderful is that love and grace? I want to know. I do know this Jesus Christ was stronger and tougher and better than any man on this earth can know. The horns of the altar were used to tie down the sacrifices during the offering. Christ did it willingly. You can't get a cow to agree to a type. I'm sorry. They had to tie the things down. But that's where the death happened. That's where the blood was shed. Christ did this willingly. The judgment of God came upon him. He could have called 12 legions of angels, but he didn't. He could have escaped, walked away, but he didn't. He didn't even try to escape. Because for this cause came I into this world. Purpose. The purpose that is shown in this altar. The purpose that was realized in Jesus Christ. The altar was where the sacrifice happened. The judgment of God upon sin happened upon this altar. Substitutes were slain. A guy would bring a goat, a dove, whatever he could afford, a cow. They said that the man would stand there, he would put his hands upon the head, and then you give it to the priest. Transferring sin. This is my substitute. I have sinned. I need a sacrifice. Not many people need a sacrifice today. There's too many good people in church. And you know, they did this every day. Thank God I only need one sacrifice now.
Yeah.
Because I sinned every day. I sin every day. And if you say you don't sin every day, you're trying to make God a liar, and he's not. You lie and know not the truth. This altar was placed at the entrance to the courtyard. There was the white fence around the tabernacle. This was at the door. You came in. This is what you saw. This thing was big. It was 5 foot. It was what? Half, 5 cubits. So it's like 7 feet by 7 feet by what? 4 or 5 foot tall. 5 foot tall. This thing was not little. It grabbed your attention when you come through the door. Sacrifice comes first. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without shedding of blood, there's no blood to sprinkle on the mercy seat. Without shedding of blood, there is no grace, no mercy, and no forgiveness. Everything. Every single tiny bit of forgiveness comes from the shed blood of Christ. All of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know that song, Jesus Paid It All? That's a good song.
Mm-hmm.
I wish the people that sang it would find preachers that would preach it. I used to make fun of them every now and then. Walter knows this is true. And I'd sing a version of it. It's called Jesus Paid Most of It. Almost all I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He did the best he could. Because that's what they preach. They sing Jesus paid it all. And then they said, no, he didn't. The book says he paid it all. There is no more sacrifice for sin. No more. Everything about the tabernacle starts at this altar. Arthur Pink wrote it this way, and this is a quote, "The tabernacle could not be entered till one had first passed the altar." Mm-hmm. Bloodshedding is the basis of approach to God. I remember when I first started to get a hold of this, listening to Earl talk, and I asked him about it, and I'd read some of it, and I remember saying, Earl, Judaism was not pretty, was it? He said, no. He said it was like a butcher shop.
Yeah.
They were actually, literally killing animals all day long, mm-hmm. every day.
Yeah.
But it all relates to Christ. Every part of it's a picture. God is particular with his sacrifices and his offerings. There was no lamb provided for the Egyptians. Nobody even sent the Egyptians a note. Moses said, go to your people, tell them to kill a lamb. And if the family's too small for one lamb, get two families together. Y'all be inside with your feet shod, your staff in your hand, and blood on the doorpost and the lintels. Mm-hmm. Nobody told the Egyptians anything. And the Passover happened. But the Egyptians didn't get passed over. The firstborn was killed in every house that didn't have blood over it. And God didn't send them a messenger, Walter.
No.
They don't talk about that in other churches either. Because that's awfully particular. The firstborn in every house without a lamb slain and blood applied died. The high priest on the Day of Atonement confessed on the head of the scapegoat the sins of Israel. Mm-hmm. Nobody else. That's it. There's a cutoff. The sins of the people of Israel. Sounds awfully particular to me. This altar was inside the camp, inside the fence, inside the courtyard, because this altar was for the chosen people of God. Only. Do you mean God excludes people? Oh, yes. Yes, I do. Because that's what's in this book. God excludes people every day. Well, I don't think that's right. That's okay. It doesn't matter what you think. I used to say I don't care what you think, but actually I do care what you think. But it still don't matter what you think. It matters what's true. And that's all that matters. Is him. The only thing that matters is what God says. Because the judge of all the earth shall do right.
Yeah.
And he's the judge of all the earth. The judge. I think that means he gets to render judgment. I'm not sure, but that's not an explanation. That's not an excuse. That's a fact. God is the judge and he will do right. Whether human beings like it or not. He'll save some. He'll damn some. But he'll do it because it's right. He will do all that he is pleased to do because it's his altar. It's his altar. It represents his son, whom he sent to do his will, which he purposed, planned, and accomplished. Because we're talking about the Almighty God, the everlasting Father, creator of heaven and earth. I'm not talking about somebody else's God. They're all out there. They're out there. But that's why I'm here. Because this is the God I want to know about. The one in this book. He doesn't need us. We need him. We need Christ. We need the truth revealed in Christ through this altar, which is in that courtyard. It's outside his tabernacle, right there. His tabernacle's right there with it. And there's some that won't have it. I know that too because I've been there. They will not have it. Some are nicer about it than others. Some are not so nice about it at all. Been there too. But that's okay. It's kind of still strange to say this. But God likes me. God has loved me and revealed his son to me. And I believe him. And pretty much, especially after working at car dealerships for 12 years or so, you learn not to believe too many other people. But I do believe him. And I want to know more of him. And by his grace, I will. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place. And for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who did give himself for his people. A sacrifice for sin forever. Is blood shed, not spilt. The offering offered to you and accepted. Thank you, Lord. We are ever thankful for this. And we ask it in his name. Amen.